Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with us today. Wow, it was the little bug that turned the whole world upside down. Bill, I've just come back from Nepal, family conferences, homeschooling conferences, and Nepal just getting the movement started, and boy, it is a different country. I've got to come back to a war zone. It feels like a war zone, Bill.
Were you self-quarantined over there?
No, there's one person has it in the nation. So I was much safer there than Colorado. Colorado has a higher ratio than almost every other state. Here we are in Colorado, somebody told me the stores are empty.
Oh, I've been to the store twice since I got back Sunday. I was on the road, and it was interesting because the airlines, the flights were full. Both flights going and coming out of El Paso were full,
yeah,
which surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got back and I went to the store at two different times during the day, and the shelves were empty. Now, I'm not just talking about toilet paper shelves, paper goods. I'm talking about just about everything. I mean, produce was very lean. Meat was almost disappearing. There was all kinds of stuff off the shelves.
Where's
bread
going? Where is
I don't know. People are hoarding.
Okay.
And I don't understand the toilet paper and uh-huh. the paper goods. I just don't understand that because it's not that kind of flu. It's not an intestinal flu. It's a respiratory flu. And so I'm curious as to why, you know, people made a run on toilet paper, but it is continuing. I mean, I went Monday and then I went again today, and it's still, the shelves are empty.
Well, you've got two pandemics going on, the panic-demic and the COVID-19. All right, so, friends, the fear is palpable all around. The fear is palpable, period. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And that's critical in times like these. Certainly, the Christians should demonstrate great spirit of faith and fear of God versus the fear of disease. And that's what we're going to talk about on this edition of the program. We want to think rationally about the disease. We want to think rationally about the risks involved. 6% of people die from automobile accidents, 2% from infectious diseases, 9% by respiratory problems. And so it fits in with the other risks, and we have to be aware of these risks and respond properly, but let's be sure that we're applying great faith and the fear of God. Certainly the fear of God should be first and foremost in our minds, and then the fear of others, things, or at least the apprehension and attention towards other things will fall into place. And that's that, my friends, will happen when our perspective is right, when we are fearing God first and foremost. I'm going to take a break, Bill. When we get back, let's talk about risk and the COVID-19 virus. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Friends, listen. There is nothing families need more than godly husbands and fathers, spiritual men, praying men, men who are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, that God would raise up stronger men, gentle, faithful shepherds, covenant keepers, men who won't quit, men who stay in the battle, men who persevere when the going gets tough, sacrificial lovers, robust men, not snowflakes. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the apostle tells us, quit ye like men, be strong. That's why the Shepherd's Conference each year in my home here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Let me tell you, it's the best fellowship, the best worship, the best encouragement, the best exhortation, 5 days of immersive study in the Word of God, prayer and fellowship at my place out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, September 28th through October 2nd this year. Here's the caveat, there are only 45 spots open reserved now at generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds. And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast, friends. America is not the same. It is not the same country it was when I left it some 8 days ago. Bill, it seems that America is more or less a war zone at this point. I haven't seen anything like this in my lifetime. Have you?
No, I haven't. I was trying to imagine what the 1917-1918 Spanish influenza that swept through the world and the United States, what the reaction was at that time. It would be hard to compare the two. But, for example, the town of Gunnison here in Colorado quarantined itself and did not have a single case of the Spanish influenza. They would not let people off the trains. They wouldn't let people passing through in automobiles stop and get out of their cars. Anyone who decided to leave town could leave, but they couldn't come back in. And as a result of that lockdown, they didn't have a single case. But that still spread, the Spanish influenza still spread, even up into the gold mining camps here in Colorado. And it came from overseas because of returning servicemen. And it spread very quickly. 20 to 40 million is a conservative estimate of people worldwide who died. And in 18 months, it just went away. Mm. We don't have a cure for it. We don't have a vaccine for it. We don't even have a sample of the Spanish influenza. And it just seemed to go away.
Well, first and foremost, let's remember that God is sovereign over every superbug and every virus. And of course, these viruses can change their form and make it very difficult to track down. And there are varying levels of severity amongst these viruses. Modern technology has been able to monitor and communicate practically every single case in every single country in the world. And in some respects, this epidemic is something of a test for modern communication systems. In other words, we're on it faster than we were in 1918, only because communication is instantaneous. Immediately, we know that Italy just got four more cases and Nepal got its first case. Immediately, within 10 seconds, the whole world is aware of what is going on in the rest of the world. So,
which leads to a panic pandemic.
It can, right, exactly. Yeah. So there's a positive and negative. At least we're aware of what's going on, but the other side is we can overreact to these things. So these are the changes that have occurred, and this is why this particular virus is so unusual. Never has a virus received so much press coverage as this one, at least in my memory. The press and social media provide more of an opportunity for panic and fear, along with the means of helping to contain a more devastating spread of the virus. Also, the fatality rate for COVID-19 turns out to be 10 times that of the flu at every age group. In other words, it's just 10 times worse at 10 years of age as well as 90 years of age. Only there's an increased impact, obviously, for those of the older ages. For young people, the death rate is about 1 in 500. And also, the basic reproduction number is lower than SARS and mumps and slightly higher than Ebola and influenza by about 1.67 times. Now, given these numbers, COVID-19, therefore, is 16.7 times more dangerous than the flu, while Ebola is roughly 240 times more dangerous than the flu. So that gives you a little bit of a sense for how bad they are. I wanted to assess the risks, and so far nobody has really assessed the risks, putting the reproduction number next to the fatality number. And so I think it's important for us to get a reasonable and rational sense for what the increased risk is, comparing the flu to the COVID-19 virus. And we're looking at a ratio of 16.7 times. So in other words, if there are two people in the same room, one of them having the flu, the other having the COVID-19. The guy with the COVID-19 is 16.7 times more dangerous than the other guy, which means you probably want to back away maybe 16.7 feet from the one guy. And you might be closer to 1, 2, 3 feet away from the guy with the influenza. So that's the point. The point is that it is more dangerous. No, it's not like 10,000 times more dangerous, so be careful. It's 16.7 times more dangerous than the flu. Also, the H1N1 virus of 2009 killed between 200,000 and 600,000 people worldwide.
About 12,500 here in the United States.
Yeah, so it was a severe virus, the H1N1, back in 2009. Now, it did not shut down everything.
No, at Worldview Academy, we still had summer camps going, and we had to deal with a case of a student who returned home at the end of camp and then came down with the swine flu, and so we had to contact all of the students who were at that particular camp. We had to monitor everything, but it created quite a discomfort, and it was a difficulty, but it didn't shut down our camping season, whereas what we've seen now is all the sports events, all of the, even some of the homeschool conventions have shut down already. We've had different organizations that have pulled their seasons. And so it's created quite a rippling effect.
Yeah, more so than anything that I've ever seen in my lifetime. And also, since the COVID-19 virus is relatively new, there's still no proven treatment available for it. Unlike tuberculosis or AIDS, this makes modern people more nervous because there just isn't a treatment for it. Given the scenario that played out in China and the containment that China provided, we would expect this disease to produce about 14,000 deaths worldwide. Now, chances are the other nations around the world are not going to provide quite the level of containment that China provided. And so we'll
see
what happens.
I'm not even sure that China provided that level of containment. I don't trust what they're reporting out of China. They were not on top of this.
So at the end of the day, friends, you want to mitigate your risks, but not be paranoid or a hypochondriac with any of these diseases. I think you want to take into account the fact that it's more dangerous, take into account the fact that it spreads slightly more effectually than the flu virus. People over 60 years of age with compromised immune systems as well are at risk of dying, as many have pointed out already. Also, be aware of geography. Be aware of the incidence in terms of geography. If you're in Italy, you're in trouble. You have a 0.05% chance of getting it. But if you're in Nepal, you've got a 0.00000003% chance of getting it. So, you've got to take into account where you are. Turns out there are certain states that have higher percentage incidences of the COVID-19 virus, and you know what tops the list? Washington State, Colorado, Massachusetts, New York, and Washington, D.C. The best states turn out to be Idaho, Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma, Arizona, North Dakota, and Missouri. Now, don't ask me why. It's the red states with the lowest incidence and the blue states with the highest incidence. Don't ask me why.
Well, West Virginia for a long time didn't have
one at all.
Yeah.
I know.
So, yeah. But they're not on that list?
No. Well, yeah, West Virginia would be on the list, but it's interesting. The red states have the lowest incidence and the blue states have the highest, including Colorado. Colorado is at the very top.
Yeah, and it may be one of those things where you have major cities that tend to go blue.
Yeah.
And so you have Denver, and so there's more people packed in there. So yeah. that may be part of it.
And vacation states as well.
Right.
Well, friends, be aware of the incidence of various diseases, the manner of transmission, and et cetera, et cetera. So what we're saying is take into account the various risks that we deal with in life. Remember, 13,000 people have HIV/AIDS in Colorado. Now, the average person isn't concerned about that. Why? Because their sexual proclivities do not include some of these perversions and such. So, and they may not be involved in trading needles, in drug use and such, which should be the way in which HIV/AIDS is transmitted. So, you've got to take into account incidences. There are 13,000 people with HIV/AIDS in Colorado. There are 9,000 cases of TB in America with a death rate of 12%. Also, 4,500 cases of coronavirus in America thus far, and the death rate is about 2%. So keep these things in mind as you consider the risks involved with the coronavirus. In the average year, over 37,000 Americans die of the flu. Over 38,000 Americans die in traffic accidents. Thus far, you've got about 70-plus Americans who have died of the coronavirus thus far.
And it's interesting because this virus has been politicized already. I just saw the president's daily briefing on this, and he said, this Chinese virus. And so one reporter jumped all over that and said, why do you call it a Chinese virus? And his response, because it started in China. And that's true. Mm. But this is a virus that has a politically correct label. Mm-hmm. You can't use, it's a China virus, mm-hmm. because that would be racist. It would be bigoted. So just like HIV had a political, label, so does this. And so you're going to see all kinds of panic, not just health-wise, but you're also going to see panic engendered and created by the opposition party to those who are in the White House.
It is extraordinary how much the world has been shaken. The economic systems of this world have been shaken by this coronavirus. We're going to deal with the stock market crash on a succeeding program. But friends, this is a demonstration of the power of God, the sovereignty of God. Man does not control the viruses. By the way, the Chinese don't control the virus either. It's impossible for man to control these viruses. And that's a wake-up call to the scientific age. Bill, I think there's something of a sense amongst God's people that that science can solve our problems. I think the average person in America thinks that science can solve our problems for us. And yet there's a tension in the modern man between the science being the savior and science being incapable of saving us at the most crucial moments.
I'm one positive out of this pandemic, this panic pandemic, is that it will drive people back to their knees and drive people back to the dependence upon a holy God, recognizing that their finances aren't secure, their health is not secure,
that's right,
their government is not the answer, but the only answer is found in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the creator and the redeemer and who controls all around us.
He's over all things to the church. And I think in Hebrews 12 also that comes to my mind, that the world will be shaken again so that that which cannot be shaken may remain. And that is the kingdom of God. We will continue to serve God with reverence and godly fear, even as the systems, the world's great systems, are shaken to the very core. Again, God is in the midst of his church. She shall not be moved, even though the mountains be cast into the sea and such. So, friends, we can be absolutely convinced that Jesus have all these things in his hands, and he is sovereign over all these things, and he will shake the world in order that that which cannot be shaken may remain, and that, of course, is his kingdom. And so, friends, are we fearing these diseases more than fearing God? I think that's the bigger question. Here's Deuteronomy 28. I think it's a really key passage, speaking more to a national situation than the individual. But listen, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues. In other words, if you're not going to fear God, then you will see extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious prolonged sicknesses. And here it is. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. So there it is. You know, those diseases that you were fearing will cling to you. Why? Because you did not fear the Lord your God. So fear God first and foremost. And so I guess we need to be asking ourselves, are we fearing God? Do we speak more of obeying God's commandments? Are we more regular about confessing our sins or confessing that we haven't used enough Purell? Are we more concerned about our breaking God's commandments or that somebody accidentally forgot to sneeze into their elbow? These are the sorts of things that I think we need to be asking ourselves. Are we concerned primarily about protecting ourselves from sickness, or are we concerned primarily about breaking God's commandments in thought, word, and deed? So, again, what do you fear? Who do you fear? That stands out in this entire scenario. And I would encourage God's people to come back to the fear of God and worship him with reverence and godly fear, even as he is shaking the world. I'd like to use the example, if a nuclear bomb hits the city near you, what are you going to do? Are you going to fear the nuclear bomb or fall down on your knees, trembling before Almighty God, and worship him? Also think of the response that Job gave as Job's entire family was wiped out and he lost all his possessions. What did he do? He fell down on his face, worshiped God, and said what? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, he could see the hand of God. He bowed himself to the hand of God. He feared God. He reverenced God. He worshiped God. That's our response, first and foremost. So, Bill, I think my encouragement to the church is that this be a time of prayer, this be a time of worship, this be a time of acknowledging God and fearing and reverencing him above all.
Yep. And that's what we need to do, is put our trust in him, fear God, and he removes fear of everything else. As Paul wrote, neither height nor depth nor life nor death nor basically any created thing can separate us from the love of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So I often say, and we've talked about this before, that what you fear is what you worship. And if we are afraid of created things, then we will worship those created things. And rather than fearing the true creator, rather than fearing God.
I often ask myself, you know, why is it that people's trust in God is so weak in moments like this? And I think it's because their fear of God is so weak. It's our perception of God that matters, first and foremost. Listen to Psalm 115:11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. There you see the concept of fearing God and trusting God. And if your perception of God is such that you don't fear God, if you don't really perceive Him to be sovereign, you know, all-powerful, capable of saving us from those dire circumstances, the one who created heaven and earth, the one who brought the worldwide flood, the one who is behind the judgments that come upon the entire earth. And if you don't believe this, then why would you fall on your face and cry out for His mercy and believe that He has the capability to save you? Does that make sense? If you've got a little God and you don't fear Him, then why in the world are all of these choruses encouraging you to trust God not going to help you? And I think the answer is because your perception of God to begin with isn't quite big enough. Friends, we must fear God. We must tremble before Him. We must be overwhelmed at the sight of God first and foremost, and then realize that He is our rock. He is our help. He is our shield. He is the one who can save us in the day of trouble. And one more thing, I think we need to talk about repentance. I don't think we've talked about repentance enough. Friends, why is it that the states that are killing the babies get hit the hardest with the coronavirus? Why is it that California gets hit the hardest with forest fires? Or why is it that Colorado had the worst fires, the worst floods, and the worst legislature in the very same year? And we've brought these things out at different times on this program. But why is it that Australia gets hit the very hardest with forest fires 2 or 3 months ago? The worst ever, directly after approving abortion and homosexual marriage in 2019. So, again, these questions come back to us again and again. And the bottom line is we don't know why. For sure, we don't have a specific reason for this, except to say that God exists and God brings His judgments to the earth and that God's hand is behind these things. And as Jesus said, in the face of natural disasters, you should repent or you will likewise perish. So we have an obligation to pause and to ask ourselves, what are the sins of our nation? What must we repent of? How have we been negligent of fearing God and keeping His commandments? The coronavirus is very, very small in comparison with the final judgment and eternal hellfire. But Jesus said, fear not him who destroys the body, but rather fear him who destroys body and soul in hell. And I think the fear of God and repentance is so basic to even the Christian life. Bill, you know, we get wake-up calls as well as Christians, as well as non-Christians. And in my own life, I've played around with sin in my life, and I've received personal wake-up calls in my life where I wasn't in the business of mortifying myself, letting it go and letting it go. And then, you know, God sent a wake-up call to me, and by His grace, I began to fear Him more. I cried out for mercy, I repented of my sins, and God forgave me. He cleanses me of all my unrighteousnesses, as we read in 1 John 1:9. But the first thing that had to happen, Bill, in all of this, and I think this is true for the nation, it's true for anybody listening, is, Bill, I had to get more serious about my sin. You know, I had to get serious about what God was saying to me and the convicting message He was bringing to bear in my life. So it begins with getting serious about sin, getting serious about God, getting serious about His judgment, and then we get serious about His mercy, and we cry out for His mercy, and He is merciful to us. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. These are the big takeaways, as I see it, as America goes through what may be the most traumatic experience in 50 years of this nation's history. Repent. Fear God. Turn back to Jesus. That's the message on this edition of the Generations radio broadcast. We'd encourage you to our book, America in God's Providence, which brings out a number of these pandemics and the response that America gave through proclamations, through days of prayer, fasting, repentance, and humiliation. Friends, you need to read the story of how America dealt with these things in time past. Get the full story in American God's Providence, our summary of American history thus far, and you can get a copy of this along with the study guide at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.